Thank you, Paul. So it was over a period of about 10 years that Paul traveled approximately 10,000 miles, making over 60 different stops, planting over 20 churches, and writing 13 of the 27 New Testament letters that we now call books. Where we find ourselves here in the story is that Paul is at the end of his third missionary journey. He's saying goodbye to some pretty special friends, and he's sad because he knows he's never going to see him again. The entire chapter is incredibly moving, but my favorite part comes in verse 24. This verse has been my life verse for over 30 years. He says, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." For the past 25 years, Katinka and I have given ourselves to a place and to a people here in Tenton Falls, New Jersey, who were in need of some good news. When we first arrived, at the time, the church was called Monmouth Baptist Church. It had seen its better days, and it was actually in grave danger of shutting its doors for good. We were the last hope of reviving a once thriving community of faith that was at that point on life support. They didn't have enough people or resources to even pay us a salary, so they held a fundraiser and reached out to anyone who had ever called the church their home if they would make a pledge for 2 years to pay my salary. If at the end of that time we would not be self-sustaining, then I would be tasked with presiding over the funeral of the church. It wasn't much pressure, huh? I was 27 years old. I had never done anything like this, but I was tasked with helping this church to find a better way to stay alive and one day, hopefully, to thrive. I was 27 years old, and I had just enough youthful energy and blissful ignorance and maybe a little bit of faith to believe that Katinka and I would be used by God to do something special as we shared with the others this good news about the wonderful grace of God. At the end of 2 years, we were self-sustaining and well on our way to some pretty amazing adventures. At that point, Katinka was about 8 months pregnant with our oldest child, Gabrielle. And it was then that we made the decision to leave the Southern Baptist Convention and become a non-denominational church, what you now know as Grace Christian Church. It was perhaps the most courageous decision that we've made in the 25 years that we've been here. But I believe that God has rewarded that decision with a great deal of blessing. As we celebrate 25 years with you, I want to begin by saying this to you. Once upon a time, you were just an idea. This church, this community of faith, you were only just a dream. I dreamed of a lot of things, but a lot of those things has taken the shape that it has because you've been a part of this. I dreamed one day of being a part of a community of faith where the burnt out, the beat up, the marginalized, and the irreligious could find a safe place to explore their faith for the first time, or maybe to come back to the faith that they had abandoned over the years for one reason or another along the way. You might well be one of those burnt out or beat up or irreligious people when you first came. And if you're not, then maybe you just shared the same heart that I had for what a community like that could be. I've had the great fortunes of seeing glimpses of that dream come true. For example, I dreamed of bringing good news to homeless people. It's always troubled me when I've seen people in places that they've just been marginalized, pushed to the edges. They had no real means to support themselves or help themselves for one reason or another. For over a decade, for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks at a time out of the year, we would turn our church building into a home for homeless families. And for a time, we built incredibly meaningful relationships with people who needed someone to put flesh on the word. During the course of that time, I actually had the unique privilege of leading some of those people in those families to faith in Christ. I actually was able to baptize some of them and even presided over some of their weddings and so too their funerals. I also dreamed of addicts and outcasts finding their way to our doors and feeling welcome. And one day, out of the blue, a couple of vans arrived and just dropped off a boatload of people from one of the local rehabs. It was like manna from the heavens to me. And as we developed a relationship with them over the years, they actually invited me to come over and on a weekly basis, share the good news of wonderful grace with them at a time that was very critical in their lives. I've also dreamed of being the kind of church that was fearless and confronting the injustices and the systems of oppression that exist in our world. And at the same time, deeply committed to the personal experience of following Jesus and experiencing the joy and the peace that transcends space and time. Sometimes places like this, churches, think that all that matters is what you believe. But I've always thought that if your theology isn't in touch with your humanity, it doesn't really matter what you believe, because you have more of a club than you do a church. I also dreamed of this place being a place where everyone felt truly welcomed and could find a seat at the table. I didn't really realize how difficult creating and sustaining such a place would be. It is not easy these days. Sometimes you have to fight for your dreams if you want those dreams to become a reality. I feel these days that we're in for the fight of our life, but if we all still want it, I have hope that that dream can come true, where everybody finds a place at the table. I dreamed of being a community of faith that elevated the role of women in our midst, giving them opportunities that other churches and other organizations had not. And I feel genuinely happy that we acknowledge the call of ministry on both Kathy Eagles, who went on to serve and pastor in other churches, and so too Lorraine Carroll, who is still with us on staff today. I'm so blessed that we took the time to ordain them to the gospel ministry to help them fulfill the call that God has placed on their life. And I'm proud that from the very beginning, our staff and elder board has been thoughtfully and prayerfully selected according to one's gifts and their calling and not their gender. I dream that we would see beyond ourselves and come alongside other communities of faith and help to give them what they needed in order to live and thrive and serve the communities that they felt called to serve. We did that over the years with Bethel Community Church, the Korean Christian Church of New Jersey, the Filipino Church, and Outreach Red Bank, which is now Park Church. It's not 20 plus churches, but it's not nothing either. I've had many dreams that have come true, and it's so exciting when you think something and then see the reality of that something take shape. I've had many of my dreams come true. I've had many, many more crash and burn. But all along the way, I've tried to not only consistently give you good news, I've tried to embody good news and teach you about the wonderful grace of a great big God who holds all things, including us, in an unconditional loving embrace. I've been with many of you at your worst. I've watched you get sick. I've seen you struggle with infertility, lose your jobs, get divorced, go to prison, become homeless and sleep in your cars, find out that your children are addicted to drugs, and despair of your very life. I've held countless funerals of those no longer with us. I've been with you at your worst times. But some of you have also been with me and my family through some of the great hardships that we've suffered, some of the deep losses that we've experienced as well. And I feel so grateful for that. You never really know what the substance of a relationship is like until you go through really deeply painful moments with someone. I thank you for sharing those moments with me. I'm privileged to have shared those moments with you. I've also been with you at your best, and I've watched you find the grace of God in the midst of the mess and the chaos that is your life. I've seen you find peace and joy in situations in which no one else around you thought possible. I've been with many of you and prayed prayers of faith that introduced you to a life-changing relationship with the risen Christ. I've been with you in swimming pools and rusty tanks and rivers and lakes, and even annually every Easter Sunday morning in the icy Atlantic to publicly confirm your commitments of faith. I've dedicated countless children with their families in the hopes that they would one day grow up and embrace their own real version of faith for themselves. I've presided over 100 different weddings. I've watched many of you grow up and become better versions of yourself than the one that I first met. I count it a great privilege to have shared in so many sacred moments with you. I just want to say thank you. We've also navigated some really hard, difficult places together, not knowing how we would get through it all. From the terrorist attacks of 9/11 to the devastation of Superstorm Sandy, and now this global pandemic and the social unrest that we're all hoping that we will emerge from sooner than later. But as we make our way through, I want you to consider for a moment if the thing that we all just wished would go away might actually be lingering just a little bit longer to help teach us something, to help show us a better place to live. And maybe, just maybe, it will linger until we learn the lessons that we need to and come out the other side better than worse. I dream of a day when all of us could be at our best when things are at their worst. That just doesn't happen by chance. As we move forward, I want to urge you to be careful about the voices that you listen to, because if they're not trying to make things better in your life, they're probably making them worse. If they're not building you up, they're probably tearing you down. And the problem with this is sometimes it's too late before you even realize that that's going on in your life. I want us to be listening closely for those voices that are urging us to walk closely with Christ. If those voices aren't urging and stirring us to do so, to be more full of grace in the face of our deepest fears and our greatest disappointments, then I beg you, please stop listening to those voices. Stop following them. Stop allowing people the space in your life to deform your head and your heart and to diminish your Christian witness in this world. I urge you to intentionally, actively look for good news. Look for people who are trying to make a real difference and join them in the difference that they're trying to make. Heck, be those people who, armed with the good news of great and wonderful grace, are the kind of people that others are following. As we look ahead, we have our own unique path. It's why we are who we are, and it's why God has brought us together. I don't know how much more time I have with you. It's doubtful that I have 25 more left in me. And I don't know how much more time you have with me. But I do still believe that Christ is alive in our midst. I believe that Christ is among us, healing and transforming lives and bringing good news and giving new life. And though we have a lot of room to grow, I'm still hopeful and I'm still expecting that God's kingdom will come and His will be done among us as it is in the heavens. I've tried my best to live at peace among you and to be a voice of hope and help and truth to you. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It's been an honor and a privilege to be your pastor and your friend, to have the space and the time to live out my calling with you for a quarter of a century now. It would be impossible to thank everyone personally for all of the ways that you have loved and encouraged my family. But if it weren't for some of you, I have no doubt that we would have made it and still been here 25 years later. What we get to do here with you is a great privilege, but there are moments that are painful, that are crushing, and sometimes even debilitating, where along with the grace of God, you just need a little help from your friends. And you know who you are, and you've given that to us when we most desperately needed it. I thank you for letting me be your pastor, but I thank you for helping me, my wife, my kids, who have made it all these years. Finally, I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife, who is the greatest person that I know. My most sincere and deepest, most fulfilling blessing is to share my life with yours. You have been with me every step along the way, every single moment over these past 25 years. You've never once made me feel guilty or feel bad for any of the sacrifices that I've made that has adversely impacted our family. You have tirelessly encouraged me, loved me without condition, and challenged me to be a better version of myself when I was settling for lesser dreams. We have together created a beautiful life and a beautiful family, which I believe is the greatest legacy we will one day leave this earth with. Gabrielle and Joshua and Eli, you don't get a chance to pick what your parents do for a living, but to be the kids of a pastor is not always easy. In many churches and in many families, pastors' families don't often thrive. But I'm so proud of you, of who you are, who you're growing up to be. It is one of our greatest privileges in life that we get to call ourselves your parents. We believe in you and we're grateful for you. And we know that you'll stand on our shoulders. There will be one day that we aren't around, but we entrust to you that same gospel vision of being good news and bringing good news and making this world a better place to live in. I thank you for being who you are and for sharing the experiences, all of them along the way, and for giving me grace when I wasn't around, when I missed things because I was committed to serving people who were in places of greater need than you. Thank you for the experience of being the best thing that's ever happened to me. I look forward to what is ahead with our family, but these days, Katinka, it is our empty nest phase. It is our next chapter phase, and I believe it's got great things in store for us, and I look forward to being able to share those with you. I love you so very much, and I look forward to those days to come. And so now, having said all of that, I say this: armed with the good news and seized by the great grace of God, even after all these years, with as much love as I can summon, I say to every single one of you what I say almost every week. My wish for you is to be people of grace and peace. God bless you all. Let's pray. Lord, it is and has been a privilege to grow up here. I was just a kid when Katinka and I first came. There was so much in front of us. This church wasn't yet a family, and we didn't have a family here. You've given us those two unique gifts, those two beautiful and wonderful families that we've gotten to be a part of and to experience life with, and I'm just so grateful. I thank you, Lord, for all that has been, for all that currently is, and for all that is still to come. Would you guide us in these challenging days? when things are at their worst, to help us be at our best, so that the good news that we have received, we can also share with others, and it can make a real difference in their lives, and turn this very challenging chapter into one that we look back on and are grateful for having gone through it, for the transformation you brought about in our lives. In advance, we'll give you thanks because we trust that you will, and we look forward to what's to come. For all this and more, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.